It's 50 degrees at 11:30.
Well, Richard, we're back to 19 and 51. This show was 6 years old that year. And look who walked in on us. A guy I've known just about that long. Yeah. Longer than that. Pat Buttram just hailed in from the West Coast. And boy, are we delighted to see you. What brings you east, old feller?
Well, I'm back doing a big thing for the ski awards I'm giving for all of the big skiers.
It would be so much fun if we'd all pronounce that word the way it should be.
She?
That's properly she, yeah.
She?
She, yeah. Well,
that's a different sport entirely.
Yes.
Let's go she.
I don't know. I hear about the she lodges, the big lodges.
Yeah, there,
and all of the sports they have there. I have so much trouble even getting my shoes off. I don't know how they do what they're supposed to do. But
Pat, I don't know if you're acquainted with what we've been doing, but we're in our last throes here.
Yes.
And the last 27 years, we've been dedicating each day to one of the years in reverse.
1951.
We're down now to the sixth year of the show, which is 1951, and we're thinking of some of the things that happened. What occurs? Can you remember anything, 51?
Well, 1951, Gene Autry and I were making all of our TV films, and I was Gene's sidekick at that time, and Gene would turn to me in the middle of a picture and he'd say, "Pat, shoot low, they may be crawling." Things like that.
In every picture, huh?
Yeah, pictures. And at the end of every picture, Gene would ride off into the sunset. Now he owns it. Gene Autry. We made 200 pictures in, we made about 55 or 60 in 1951. That's
holy catfish! That's more than one a week.
Well, we'd do two a week. Yeah, we'd work from can till can't every morning.
But those shows looked as though you had put so much into them.
No, we worked hard on them and made them up in the country, up in the hills there and everything.
Were they scripts or were they things you just ad-libbed?
No, they had scripts on them. And, you know, the great thing about Autry now, a lot of people don't realize, but he started making pictures about 1933 or 34. Now, back in the Depression days, there's so many kids would go to the movies on Saturdays, and they could spend a dime, that's what it cost, to see an Autry Western and all on weekend. And they would sit there through the whole thing and again, a whole day for a dime. They'd maybe pay a nickel for popcorn. And this kept a lot of kids out of trouble and everything, because all week they'd look forward to it, and it was the old Saturday matinee, whether it was Autry or Hopalong Cassidy or whoever it was still, those days were something that I think helped American youth a heck of a lot. Yeah, they did. They helped a lot, I think. And especially during the Depression, when nobody had anything to look forward to and they were a little depressed and all. Because I was in that. I was in poverty before it became popular, you know, before the rich folks got a hold of it. You know, to us, the high price spread was lard. You know, that's the Depression days. And people nowadays don't realize how tough it was. You remember those days?
Do I? I should think I do. And some of the nicest tunes that we ever had came out of that year, too. That happens always in very bad times. You remember a thing called "I Whistle a Happy Tune," boys? This was a play with Gertrude Lawrence, wasn't it? "Whenever I Feel Afraid."
"The King and I," wasn't it?
Yes. Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and I whistle a happy tune. No one ever knows I'm afraid.
The result of this deception is very strange to tell. For when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well.
So whistle a happy tune. Every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid.
Make believe you're brave, and the trick will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are. You may be as brave as you make believe you are.
It's a lot of fun.
See, even your whistle has laryngitis, you know?
I think I'm going to have it from now on.
That was a great year. Well, listen, everybody out of KNX and Hollywood and all the people like George Burns and everybody, just say, what can we do? Should we send telegrams or what should we do to
send money?
A few dollars would be nice.
No, to tell Arthur that how much we've appreciated all the years.
Oh, well, that's
you
nice
have
of you.
Done so much for all of us.
Well, guys have been my idols in the business all these years. You know,
you have you've done so much TV and radio and everything else here.
It always is a big thrill to me when I find out that some of the names that I have revered all my life or listened to us once in a while.
You know, Alice Faye is your biggest fan in the world. She listened every day. And she told Phil the other day, she said, you know, Phil, every 3 or 4 days, Arthur gets off a pretty good joke.
That's when the mail comes in from the coast.
But everybody out there loves you. We're just going to miss you so much.
Well, it's nice to know.
Well,
do you remember a song, Dick, called The Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening? That came out in 51. This is a Bing Crosby thing.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell 'em we'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, better save a chair. When the party's getting a glow on and singing fills the air. In the shank of the night, when the doings are right, you can tell 'em I'll be there. Sue wants a barbecue. Sam wants a boil of ham. Grace votes for bouillabaisse too.
Jake wants a weenie bake, steak, and a layer cake. You'll get a bellyache too.
Yeah. We'll rent the tender a teepee. Let the town crier cry. And if it's RSVP, this is what I'll reply. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell 'em we'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, better save a chair.
I may even give 'em Pagliacci.
We better stand back and give 'em blue hair.
Oh, we're gonna relax, have a couple of yaks. You can tell 'em we'll be there.
We said the bumblebee, let's have a jubilee. When? Said the prairie hen, soon.
By shore, said the dinosaur. War, said the grizzly bear. Under the light of the moon.
How about your brother, jackass? Everyone gaily cried. You coming to the fracas over his spell.
perchance we look a bit peaked. Remember, c'est la guerre. If there's gas in the hack and the laundry is back, if we're still on our feet and there's something to eat, if we ain't in the clink and there's something to drink, you can tell 'em we'll be there.
If you only had pretty elbows, I could make believe you were Chan. Jeanette Davis and I used to do that, Pat, years
really?
Ago. Yeah, that's
in
the same arrangement.
What, 51?
51.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know, the thing is, now the singers like Tom Jones. I was in Las Vegas, and with Tom Jones and Elvis and all, and the women throw the room keys, their bras and everything up on the stage, you know?
Mm.
And I was there, and I had a pretty good night. I got three pair of hearing aids and two pair of support stockings. That's my crowd, you know.
They throw bras at Tommy?
Oh,
why,
yeah.
Doesn't he have one? Is that it?
I don't think so.
No, they're just thrilled. They're everything. Thrilled with him.
Yeah.
They go crazy over Tom Jones.
Is that right?
Throw the room keys up there for him.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty good.
Yes, but it's changed up there a lot, I'll tell you.
What's changed?
Well, Las Vegas and
really?
Entertainment industry has changed.
Well, listen, isn't our friend Alice Faye's husband, isn't he still knocking them off?
Bill is still.
Bill Harris is the greatest nightclub entertainer I ever saw.
Yeah. Harry James and Phil Harris, they're together.
They're working together?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
And Phil has his big band and everything. And
I love the way Phil stands up there when he does a song. He does a Presley.
Yeah, he was the first one to do that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He rubbed his knees together.
That's how he keeps that figure.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I remember we were up there together about 1951, just about this year, wasn't it? That you did Las Vegas, you were there?
Was it 51?
Oh, it was about 10, yeah.
For heaven's sake. I can't remember how long. It was 20 years ago?
Well, you've made so many appearances, it's hard to tell. Goldie is now how old?
if I used him in 51, he's got to be 22 now.
No, that's too old.
No, that was the first Goldie. Yeah. No, I had to bury him. But I have two young ones now coming along. Well, gee, they were young. Gosh, they're 10 and 9 now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I got two of them, you know, coming along.
I remember when you appeared at Madison Square Garden. When was that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
The last was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you retired Goldie.
Oh, that was the second Goldie.
Yeah, and you brought the
first one. We lost. He died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then the second one, there were two, remember? You always have to have two because if one gets sick and your audience is waiting, what do?
Mm-hmm.
You look funny out there in a riding suit.
Yeah.
With nothing to sit on.
Yeah, that's right. So I have two of them. And the second one, we retired in the garden, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, Pat. It went over so big. The management called up and wanted to know, could I come back and retire on next year?
Yeah.
It was a lovely picture.
The amazing thing is, I was with Autry for probably 17 or 18 years, and he retired his horse Champion. He retired him to stud. But I didn't get any benefits like that at all. Nothing. I just sat around with, you know, nothing.
Well, I put old Goldie in there. He's the boss of the herd.
That's what you get when you're a sidekick. You get kicked in the side, and that's about it.
That's about all.
Yeah.
Well.
Let's see. This is 1951. This is memorable, perhaps, for the fact that President Truman relieved General Douglas MacArthur of his command in the Far East in 51. Gee, you remember Senator Kefauver?
Oh, yes.
He was chairman of the Senate Committee to Investigate Organized Crime and Interstate Commerce.
Mm-hmm. That was the first big television spectacular. I remember that. It was on TV, and the world watched it. And I think, who was it that refused to have his face photographed? It was Frank Costello. Frank Costello. They just shot his hands, remember? Rudolph Halley was one of the attorneys.
They've made this picture, The Godfather, and the guy says it's going to do $50 million or else.
I didn't see that yet. Have you seen it?
It's supposed to be a big picture, but it's...
When the line only goes around the block once, then I'll go.
Well, actually, in my neighborhood, I saw the original cast, so it wasn't really necessary.
You know what happened in 51? I just saw Wilma dug this up. I emceed the first hour-long complete color television show. Yeah, from New York, yeah. On the 25th of June? Gosh, I shouldn't ever forget that. In those days, we had those very hot lights. And you'd like to die underneath them there in that studio with a low ceiling and these hot lights on us for color. 1951. Holy smokes, 21 years ago.
I wonder how many color sets there were available at that time.
Two. One in the studio and one...
The guy was out.
One of the stockholders of CBS had one.
Do you remember who was on the show with?
No, I can't. I can't remember.
That was before Tiny Tim, I guess. Something.
Yeah. I had a big record that year called Slowpoke. You guys remember it?
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm.
This was one of my big ones. 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock. 9:45. You keep me waiting till it's getting aggravating. You're a slow poke. I wait and worry, but you never seem to hurry. You're a slow poke. Time means nothing to you. I wait and then late again. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9:45. Why should I linger every time you snap your finger, little slowpoke? Why can't you hasten when you see the time's a-wasting? You're a slowpoke, dear. Why should I keep trying to change you? It's not the thing to do. Guess I'll have to learn to be a slowpoke, too. You're just a slowpoke. You slow as molasses. Make a record like that.
Mm-hmm.
8 o'clock. Man, and it sold a million. Why should I keep going here? That's great. Why should I linger every time you snap your finger, little
slowpoke?
Why can't you hasten? What do you see? I can't get over it.
You're a slowpoke here.
Why should I keep trying to change you? What are you, baby or something? I guess I'll have to learn to be a slow poke. A slower popo than my little slow poke. I guess I'll have to learn to be a slow poke. Big finish.
Ooh. Now, that was a cute song, aren't
it? That's a
very pleasant sound. And it fits your kind of fooling around with it.
A guy named Pee Wee King wrote that.
Did he?
Did you believe it?
How do you know all these things, Pat?
Oh, I just, I know a lot about the country music people. Well, there's a lot of these country music guys that, 1951, they couldn't spell Tennessee. Now they own half of it, you know. That's the way they go. Country music has come up.
What kind of song you got for that year, take?
Well, let's see. That year...
You want to?
I have a song that I recorded. And it was somewhat of a hit. Pee-wee King didn't write this one. Mm-hmm. And the arrangement hasn't been changed one note. I think you'll enjoy the arrangement. It's called Too Young.
Oh, that's a Chinese song. Too young to. No yen to.
They try to tell us we're too young. Too young to really be in love. They say that love's a word we've only heard, but can't begin to know the meaning of. And yet, we're not too young to know this love will last, though years may go. And then someday they may recall we were not too young at all. They try to tell us we're too young. Too young to really be in love. And then someday they may recall we were not too young at all.
Yes, very nice. Hey, Pat, how's the smog out in Hollywood?
Well, it's pretty bad. When I think of the things that all of the government people are doing to clean up smog, and the hours they're working, tears come to my eyes. When I think of
it. Don't you call it powdered sunshine?
Oh, yes.
It says powdered here.
Well, it's a bunch of things about pollution that I have written out there that I...
You wrote it and forgot it.
No, I just... there's about 8 or 10 or 12 pages that I wish you...
You gave me some gags for my next speech.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Says, I'll tell you how bad pollution is. I got a waterbed that's lumpy. Says, the air pollution sure is a problem. The other night he got mugged and all he wanted was my cough drops.
That's pollution.
That's pretty
of course,
good.
In town here, it's getting pretty bad. The police here in town wanted to catch a sex fiend, so they dressed these 10 policemen up in women's clothes.
Yeah, they did.
And they finally caught the guy. Now they got another problem. They can't get the policemen to take the girls' clothes off there.
That's not true.
No.
We had a Dixieland tune we used to play back there in 51. Let's play it today, boys. Remember South?
Sure.
dear.
Hey, can you imagine? I just came across another song that was written in 1951. Hmm. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Oh. You remember that song?
Sure.
That could cause a scandal in every neighborhood.
Tommy Connor wrote that. It was a big hit, too, if I remember. Then there was a thing called Somewhere Along the Way. And there was a movie around called Wish You Were Here.
That was a play.
Was it a play?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Josh Logan. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I sent a postcard home once like that when I was over in France. Somehow the last E got rubbed out, and I couldn't understand right when I got home what happened.
You couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But that was a great year. That was in my younger years. Back then, I could cut the mustard. Now, I can't even get the jar open.
Anybody got a towel? Send it in.
This is the CBS Radio Network.